Epilogue. Revelations. On the bridge of the Adeptus Sororitas strike cruiser, Iron Penitence, Stern kept watch before the primary viewport. She had been standing here, moving rarely, for two ship's cycles. They were drawing near to where fate had appointed they must go, to where the nothing would come. It was closer than ever before. The premonition of its arrival was the pressure of a hurricane behind her eyes, and she still did not know what the cataclysm would be that would bring the nothing, nor how it would be fought. But it was coming soon, very soon. That much she knew. With the death of Varric Gar, the warp interference around Severitas had ceased for now. Astropathic communication had become possible once more, and Macrina had sent out the call to the Indomitus Crusade's battlegroup Calides of Fleet Primus. Coordinates had been relayed, and, with the rectitude lost, the Iron Penitence had come to rescue the task force. Macrina had taken point in the debates that Stern's presence had triggered. It was her arguments and the testimony of the other battle sisters that had paved the way for the commanders of the Iron Penitence to listen to Stern and to her warnings of the cataclysm. They had agreed, with reluctance, to deviate from their assigned path to this point. The course alteration had been a relatively minor one. Stern doubted she would have prevailed otherwise. But again, fate had ordained the circumstances, and she no longer wondered about her instinctual knowledge of where the next struggle would occur. She and the Emperor's will were one. Her path was clear. Her wounds had finally had time to heal. She was strong again, though her frame still throbbed where the unholy daggers had stabbed her. The pain, she thought, was the reminder of her taint. It would prevent her from the prideful sin of believing in her sainthood. Macrina joined her at the viewport. "We have arrived," Macrina said. "Or nearly. But there is nothing here." They were in the deep void. The nearest system was Zendu, and its star was no more than a point in the dark. "Is there something we should be searching?" Macrina began. She did not finish. It came. The nothing. The void outside the viewport did not visibly change, but a wave came down on the ship. A deluge, a weight, a spiritual suffocation so absolutely heavy that the Iron Penitence might have been broken upon the bottom of a planetary ocean. For long moments, Stern thought she was blind. She did not know if she stood or fell. She had no voice. There was no sound. There was only the arrival of an all-conquering, all-consuming blankness. The ship shuddered. Klaxons erupted on the bridge. Someone nearby was shouting about the navigator, that the navigator was screaming, and that direction was lost. Stern forced herself to breathe. It took a conscious effort. It was a shock to take oxygen into her lungs and not water. When she breathed, she could see and hear again. Macrina was standing, but barely. She held herself up by leaning against the viewport. Most of the bridge crew had fallen, and the officers were dragging themselves up with difficulty. Everyone was moving as if in the grip of a fatal lethargy. "Damage," the shipmaster said. Her words came slowly. "What damage?" There was no response at first. Then the Auspex officer said, "No structural damage, shipmaster." She gasped, then spoke again. "But the astropathic choir is silenced."
"Silenced?
Silenced how?"
"Our psychers have been shut down, as if there were pariahs everywhere on the ship."
The bridge was silent, except for the chattering of terminals and the machinic movements of servitors. No one said anything. Stern looked from face to face and saw the same strain on everyone from the Auspex officer to Macrina. They were all struggling through the nothing. It was draining everyone, psyker or not. It was infinitely stronger and more total than any human pariah. Stern rushed from the bridge. Even as she pounded down the corridors towards the chamber of the astropathic choir, she felt, at the back of her mind, a sense of wonder that she could run. She was pushing through the suffocation of the nothing. She had the strange sensation of being able to sprint underwater. She burst into the chamber and confronted a vista of suffering. For the astropaths, it seemed the end of all things truly had come. The pain of the crew on the bridge was trivial in comparison to what Stern saw here. The psychers had staggered from their tiered pews and fallen to the floor of the vaulted hall. The choirmaster had collapsed behind his pulpit. His mouth opened and closed soundlessly, his eyes were wide, staring blanks, and his face was blotched white and blue. He was a man drowning. The other astropaths clawed at the air, dragging their fingers as if the nothing that surrounded them were a tangible thing, and they struggled to tear through and breathe once more. Many, like their choirmaster, were silent in their agonies, as if death had already taken them, and done so with such ferocity that their corpses still echoed their last pain. Others still had their voices, and the moans of desperate horror rose to the vaults, so piercing the statues of the saints would have been weeping. The cataclysm had come. The nothing of Stern's visions was here. But the task force was here too. The Imperium still stood. The time to fight had come. But how? How, when the nothing had ripped away the power of psychers? Without her warp-tainted power, how would she fight? She felt no pain, yet she had run. She felt the suffocating blankness, yet she did not feel helpless. And then, oh, so glorious, and then... Stern gasped as the vision began. It started with light, gold and shimmering. It limned the edges of everything around her, and it came from her, from deep inside, from her soul, from its very core. No, that was wrong. The source was something even more profound. It spoke to her soul. The light grew, and with it came thunder, the thunder of the birth and death of stars. The light turned into the lightning of nebulae, and it was still gold, purest gold. The gold of a throne. The thunder was a voice too great for sound, too vast for words, though words formed in her mind, words placed by a force that was sanctity itself. Be thou my sword. The thunder was in her. She was the thunder. She was the lightning. She was the decree of that great will. Stern took a breath. She took hold of the lightning. She grasped the thunder. And as the vision faded, she felt the power. Her power. That terrible strength that had always been hers. That she had always believed was the taint of the warp. The astropaths flailed in the dark silence that had befallen them, but she blinked, and lightning flared from her eyes. Shimmering power ran down her arms. It flashed from her fingertips. Behind her, someone gasped. Stern turned around, the flames of strength racing over her shoulders. Macrina had followed her. The canoness stared at her. How? She said. You, too, are a psyker. No, said Stern. Awed before the revelation that she had almost perceived when she fought Varric Gar, but which she could not have truly seen and understood until now, here at the coming of the catastrophe. She was not a psyker. The Emperor protects. The Emperor is my strength. Faith, her might, her power, came from faith, and faith was the terror she brought upon the foes of the Emperor. She took a few steps past Macrina. "Now," she said to the unseen enemy, to the author of the nothing. "Now, I am here. Fear me." That was Ephrael Stern, The Heretic Saint, by David Annandale, read by Emma Gregory. This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2020.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this programme.